just start with a brief introduction, if you could just introduce yourself in whatever way you'd like to do that.
Okay, I'm Danny White and live just outside of Tinningham in East Lothian. I split my time now between three main occupations, activities, and I sometimes joke to colleagues I'm a part-time professor, part-time peasant, and part-time politician. I work 3 days a week in research and public health. We've got a small holding, which could take up every hour of the day and the week, but about 2 or 3 days a week. And then I'm active in the Green Party and in our local community council. So that's the other P in the three activities.
Can you say a bit about the piece of land that you work on? Where is it and what is it like?
My wife, Erica, and I spent actually over 10 years looking for a small house with a relatively large bit of land, perhaps around 2 acres we had in mind. And after searching and searching and searching for many, many years, we ended up with a much larger piece of land, which is a small holding just to the north of Tinningham. And its great attributes are that it's rich, fertile East Lothian soil and south-facing. So you couldn't really get much better growing location. The downsides are, from a horticultural point of view, the main downside is it's very exposed to westerly winds. Even though we're on the east coast, it's actually the westerly, the prevailing winds that batter it. And so the first thing we did was start planting a hedge. And we've now got a hedge all the way up the west side of it. The land is pretty heavy clay, mainly clays, which go down to a more alluvial, a lighter soil down at the bottom of the hill. When we first got there, when moving from Edinburgh, I wanted to transfer seedling brassicas to have food for the winter, and started, this was in the summer, started digging our first veg bed and hadn't appreciated the impact of 2 months of dry weather just before that. And I was despairing at how hard the soil was. It was extraordinary. I actually had to take a pick to the soil to turn it over to start the first bed, and was beginning to wonder whether this is a crazy thing we'd engaged in. We then returned to moving house and doing all sorts of other things. When I came back to digging the other beds in October, the rain has resumed, and it was like going through butter. It was extraordinary how the soil changed with the weather. And over the 8 years we've been living there, we've been learning more about the soil, which is obviously a constant project to learn about it and how best to use it and when to do things and don't bother trying.
How would you describe your relationship with the soil? You know, take that question however you would like, but if you think about your interactions with it, you know, on a sort of daily basis, what's your relationship with soil?
It's a sort of hidden world that we're entirely dependent on. And so it's really fascinating, and we just get little clues about what's going on. And the parallels with the microfauna in our gut are constantly coming back to me, how we're also dependent on that and have just little clues about what's going on inside us. And the soil is very similar. Perhaps paradoxically, I feel slightly less engaged with the soil because we do far less digging than we used to. And I grew up with conventional practices of gardening, doing regular digging over to dig in compost and manures and so on. And that would be a regular part of the annual cycle. And now there seems to be more and more evidence how it is beneficial to leave the soil as uncultivated as possible within reason. So I'm less engaged with it. I actually quite enjoyed the digging. and seeing what came up and the sheen of the earth as you turn it over and how quickly things rot down in it. And so in a way it's become more hidden because of not doing those cultivating practices. But inevitably when you're sowing and creating a tilth, you're still engaging with the top sort of couple of inches of soil. And it's wonderful to see how it changes over the years, particularly with a clay soil, as you put more and more organic matter into it, the texture changes and the organisms you're likely to see when you do turn it over are modified. I never wear or rarely wear gloves when I'm gardening, so I'm very much handling the soil and often embarrassed when I get into the office looking at my fingernails and spend the day trying to make them a little bit more respectable. But yeah, it's a source of fascination and it's a great unknown. And I feel it's a bit like sort of like a huge continent, and I feel like I'm just on the beach. I've just arrived and there's this enormous world to explore and learn about. But it's very much hidden.
How did you come to be involved with the Keepers of the Soil art piece, and what was your involvement then?
Nat was interested in an orchard grower because she had various growers doing various things with the soil, but nobody running an orchard. So she was particularly interested in that. And the main way in which we modified the soil in the orchard is through the manures we put on and the mulches. And initially came to look around the small holding and interview me about the soil and our work there. And then a second stage was she came back with her colleagues who are professional video makers, and they spent an hour or so taking lots and lots of photos and filming. They wanted me to be engaging with the soil in the orchard, and the most direct way in which we do that is mulching the trees or manuring them. So they asked me to wear the cape, and I was loading wheelbarrows with wood chip and compost and mulching the trees while wearing the cape, which was strange because the cape isn't a very practical bit of working gear. And it felt more appropriate for some kind of ritual rather than a practical agricultural work. I love the cape as a object in itself and all the imagery, the symbolism on it, and the embroidery. That's fantastic. To be wearing it while doing practical physical work was very odd, sort of acting out some bizarre role in an odd kind of project. Yeah, it just felt very strange. I like it in itself, but not as a working garment.
And what would you say is your understanding of the cape? How does it relate to soil?
Well, I'm not entirely clear. There are lots of pockets in it. And I first came to be aware of it with the pilgrimage for the COP26. And I only took part in that for one day, but I know that it was worn by different pilgrims all the way to Glasgow, and they were picking up different pieces of soil along the way. So it was capturing the essence of the land that people were walking over. And the images on the cape itself are all to do with the soil and the microorganisms in the soil. And that's really wonderful. The idea of giving the person wearing the cape some kind of role or status is where my understanding of it gets a bit fuzzy.
It's useful to be reminded that sometimes these things don't immediately resonate.
If you're thinking about clothing and soil, then welly boots might have been a more obvious thing to work with.
This is something I need to find out more about, but my understanding is, I think the sort of out of placeness of the
incongruity.
Yeah, exactly, that one, of the cape. My understanding is that's kind of part of the point, that it is this sort of ritualistic, you know, like a priest's robes or something, and so it's elevating the soil to this hallowed status.
Yeah. That sort of hint of mystic, a mystic role is, I find a bit odd.
Yeah. Two more questions, if that's okay. I'm just curious to know, are there any questions you would like to pose to a soil scientist?
It'd be difficult to think how to prioritise the questions. I've got so many of them. Because, I feel like I've got so much to learn about the soil. I am fascinated as to why generations of farmers and growers have been turning the soil, and when their livelihood depends on it, and also it involves a lot of work, they wouldn't do it for frivolous reasons. So why is it that they thought that was beneficial and now we think it's not beneficial? That's a kind of fundamental question. I'm intrigued by how quickly, in learning about a new area, which I felt totally ignorant of, it doesn't take long before you realise that there are a deep divisions amongst those who know a lot more than you do about the soil, and there are different schools of thought. Something I came across in a podcast was a theory that plants can modify the microorganisms in the vicinity of their roots, and actually their nutrition isn't just through liquid but by absorbing microorganisms into their roots, modifying those microorganisms, and then modifying the microfauna in the vicinity of the roots, which is an extraordinary idea given that I'd assumed that their main form of nutrition was taking in nutrients in solution. And some soil scientists have never even heard of that theory. So I'm fascinated by what's the evidence for it? What is the evidence base for a lot of the thinking around soil?
Excellent questions. Yeah. How do you feel about the future of soil? And that could be the soil that you steward, or much more generally, soil globally?
I think on balance, I feel quite optimistic, which seems odd. And there's so many reasons to see the world in a calamitous way. And certainly the crisis, the climate crisis, is appalling, and it's happening far faster than the scientists anticipated. But in relation to the soil, it's extraordinary how quickly it can be resuscitated. And we've seen this on the holding that we took over, which had been grazed for 20 years, fairly intensively. And we've already noticed changes in the insect life, bird life on the holding as a result of organic practices there. And I mean, just recently, it's amazing how in the morning you see more and more evidence of badgers scraping up, looking for grubs and things in the soil, which they were never interested in the land before that. Increase in bumblebees and so on. And that's just within our holding. But I think there's good evidence of how very quickly you can build up the carbon content of soil over a period of 5-10 years. And the soil has enormous potential for sequestering carbon. So things can move quickly. And also, I think conventional farmers are recognising the need to do that. And some big farmers in East Lothian are already moving in that direction. And even at government level, like the French government, I think it's one of their major planks of their approach to climate change is to try and sequester far more carbon in the soil and try to make that a an international goal. So while there are all sorts of things to be gloomy about, I think this is one area where we can be hopeful.
Is there anything, I mean, there are lots of things we could have...
Yeah. I was thinking, cycling over, in relation to Nat's project, two of the things I really, really loved about it were, I thought conceptually, her dinner table was really fantastic, and the plates with the different quotes about the soil, and just such a powerful way of showing how dependent we are on soil, and that's what we eat each day. That was brilliant. And I really loved her enormous pictures, the sort of sepia depictions of microfauna. And I don't know whether she's done more. I only saw three or four, I think, in the exhibition in the townhouse. But I thought there's potential for a kind of bestiary of microfauna in the soil to introduce us to what's going on there.